Welcome to the Making Money in Multifamily Show, where we discuss everything to do with multifamily real estate investing. We believe it's the best way to gain financial freedom and build lasting wealth. This is where you'll find the best information and practices to help you succeed in your real estate business, whether you're already experienced or just starting out. Here's your host, Dave Morja.
Hello, listener, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dave Morja, and with me today is a very special guest. He is a mentor of mine, Rod Kleef. He is very, very well known in the multifamily space. If you haven't heard of him, I'm sure you will definitely find out quite a bit more today. He's got a great story, decades of experience. I'm kind of going to just let you take this one, Rod, since you have the story carved out super well at this point. So yeah, just welcome to the show.
All right. Well, thanks, buddy. I appreciate you having me. This is a real treat. And let's have some fun today. So yeah, let me start by telling a little bit of my story, because it'll lend some framework to, I think, some of the value that we can add today. So I'm an immigrant. I was born in the Netherlands, Holland, wooden shoes and windmills. And I immigrated to the United States when I was 6 years old, my brother Albert, my mother's Svancha. And I remember my mom crying when she saw the Statue of Liberty. We came over on a ship, true story. And then we ended up in Denver, Colorado, where I lived for about 30 years. And when we first got there, we really struggled. We ate expired food. I remember going to an expired food store, expired bread and other expired food that my mom would buy, and powdered milk. We had powdered milk with our cereal in the morning because it was cheaper than regular milk. I remember, going to the Goodwill for our clothes in the Salvation Army. And, that's what I wore until I lied about my age at Burger King when I was 14, because I was tall and got a job flipping burgers so I could buy my own clothes and then buy a car when I turned 15. I'm sure you've got listeners, Dave, that had it harder than I did, or maybe even have it harder now. But I knew I wanted more. And luckily, my mom had an incredible work ethic. So, she babysat kids so we'd have extra money. And we always had a house full of kids, like a ton of kids. And with her babysitting money, she was a bit of an entrepreneur. So she invested in the stock market successfully. I know she did IPOs. I found out later, didn't know what that was at the time. But she also invested in real estate. And her first real estate acquisition was the house right across the street from us, from a family named the Jewels. And she paid about $30,000 for it when I was around 14. When I was 17, she told me she'd made $20,000 in her sleep, that it had gone up in value that much. And I'm like, what? You made 20 grand? You didn't do anything? Screw college. I'm getting into real estate, Mom. And because I was a capitalist, I already knew I was a capitalist. So I got my real estate broker's license right when I turned 18, which you could do back then with education. I mean, I could actually own my own office. And now they got smart. You need some experience to be a broker. But I was a broker right when I turned 18. And my first year in real estate, I made about 8 grand, maybe 10 grand, somewhere in that. Can keep in mind, this is 44 years ago. My second year, maybe 10 to 12 grand. But my third year, I made well over $100,000, which back in 1980 was pretty decent money. And so what happened between year two and year three to cause me to 10X my income? Well, what happened was I met a guy, I was actually dating his daughter, that taught me about the importance of mindset and psychology, and how really 80 to 90% of your success in anything is just that, your mindset and your psychology. Only 10 to 20% is the mechanical information, that you and I talk about on our podcasts. And so fast forward to today, I've owned, 2,000 houses that I rented long-term. I had 500 in Denver at one time. I had in multiple states. And I've, owned now thousands of apartment units. In 2006, my net worth went up $17 million while I slept. And if you do the math on that, I believe it's $8,300 an hour over a 40-hour work week, which of course I did. Anybody that holds still long enough heard about that. And, I thought I was a freaking real estate god. My head got so big, I could barely fit it through a door. And when that happens, God of the universe will give you a nice little smack. Well, that was 2008 and 2009. I lost $50 million in 2008 and 2009. And so, what I'm known for to talking about on my podcast and at my boot camps and training is the mindset and psychology it took to have $50 million to lose in the first place. But then maybe as important, or maybe more importantly, the mindset it took to recover from that, to get back to the success that I own today, that I have today. And so, we can drill down on that if you like. Talk about some of those success strategies that I implemented to have what I, you know, had to have that 50 million, but then again, to recover from losing it. So, you know, would you like to drill down on that a little?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Rod, what separates you from the rest, in my opinion, is the kind of purpose-driven and the mental stuff, the fortitude to figure out why you're doing the things you do. I know before, you know, you didn't mention it here, but you mentioned you've gotten X, Y, and Z kind of toys in your life or the house that you wanted and that didn't fulfill you, but you've grown over the years to figure out what it is, the purpose that drives you to continue in the business. And I think everyone needs to have that, just to A, be happy in what you do, but B, also be successful. You know, it's a very two-sided coin there. So let's get into it.
All right. Well, fantastic. So, let me do this. Let me describe a goal setting process that I teach at my boot camp. So, you know, I've got a boot camp coming up, by the way, July 29th, 30th, and 31st in Denver. It's the only live event I do a year now. We should be about 1,000 people there. And the first thing we do is goal setting on steroids, okay? Because how the hell are you going to get anything if you don't know what it is? You got to know what you want with clarity, and you have to know why you want it. So let me describe that process for you. But let me also say this. If you go to rodslinks.com, I did this on January 1st of this year. There's music. There's a guide you can download, and I'll guide you through this process. But let me describe it briefly. So what you want to do is you want to pick an hour when you have a lot of energy. And, you know, make sure you're not going to be disturbed. Make sure you're well hydrated and sit down and write down everything you could ever possibly want in life. All the stuff, the houses, the cars, the jet skis, the boats, the planes, the motorcycles, the jewelry, the clothing, all of it. Write it down. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. Okay. So write that down and take the lid off your brain. Imagine that if you write it down, you're going to get it, which isn't outside the realm of reality, because what that does, just writing it down, triggers something in your brain called your reticular activating system. And that's a subconscious filter that you're not aware of consciously, but your brain points you in the direction of things it thinks you're interested in. And the greatest example of this is when you first buy a car, you never really notice them. Then you see them everywhere after you buy it.
I love this example. The hundreds of cars you see after that.
Right. Yeah. And so that's your reticular activating system. It's the same thing with your goals. And that's why it's so important to get them out of your head and get them on paper. If you're in your head, you're dead. Okay. So write them down. And, you know, also write down how much cash flow you want from your investments, say in 3 years and again in 10 years. Write down how much, you know, money you want in the bank in 3 years and 10 years. And once you can't think of any more stuff like that, write down everything you want to do in this lifetime. So it's not just the stuff. It's everything you want to do, be, or have. And so write down, you know, everything you want to do. Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you want to, you know, I've got a vision board for traveling. Okay. Maybe you want to, the place you want to travel, you know, write down, you know, I've got a friend that's climbing every mountain in the world. That's over about 15,000 feet. I think he's done now, actually. His name is Danny, but you know, stuff like that. Wow. I jumped out of a perfectly good airplane 3 years ago and I'll never freaking do it again, but it's off the list, like bucket list stuff. So write down the bucket list stuff. Then also write down everything you want to learn in this lifetime. You know, if you want to learn multifamily, for God's sakes, come to my boot camp in Denver and you can come for $197 and there's no sales pitch. It's just, you know, I give you an opportunity to meet with my coaching staff. I talk about that for about 30 minutes, but the rest of the 3 days is full on training. So if you want to learn multifamily, you must be there.
It's a great weekend. Been to multiple.
You. Yeah, thank you. You've been, right?
Yeah, I've been to several. First one was right before the pandemic, and I finally got to another one 2 years later. It took a while.
No kidding. We finally got
there. So yeah.
Well, there you go. So there's a great endorsement. Thank you. So again, if you want to learn a skill set, write that down. Write down. You want to learn a foreign language, write all that stuff down. Then lastly, write down who you want to help. Why? Because we'll do more for others than we'll ever do for ourselves. And again, this is the fuel. This is what gets you to take action. This is what gets your butt out of bed early to go make this happen. You know, stay up late, work Saturdays, grind a few years like most people won't, so you can live the rest of your life like most people can't. This is that fuel. So once you can't think of another thing, there's just a couple more steps. I need you to write down a number by each goal for how many years it's going to take you to achieve it. And don't overthink this. There's no perfection here. Just put a 1, a 3, a 5, even a 10 or a 20, recognizing, you know, that as human beings, we will overestimate what we can do in a year and massively underestimate what we can do in 5, 10, or 20 years. And I'll give you an example of this, but I want to preframe this example, and I'll give you some other personal examples from me. Please know I'm not bragging. This stuff doesn't even interest me anymore, but I want to inspire you. So just replace the examples I give you with whatever you want. But, you know, when I lived in Denver, I always knew I wanted to live on the beach. I saw pictures of beaches and palm trees and sand and waves, and I always knew that. And there's no beach in Denver, obviously. So, you know, I would visualize that stuff. And 20 years later, I built this $8 million, 10,000 square foot mansion on the beach, you know, which was unthinkable when I was 18. So again, take the lid off your brain. Imagine if you write it down, you can get it. Don't underestimate your capabilities. So again, put a number by each goal. Once you've got that done, pick your number one goal. I mean, if there's two or three that are equally exciting, just pick. I mean, that one, when you get it, you're like, oh my God, you know you've arrived when you achieve that goal. Put that on a separate sheet of paper. And if you go to rodslinks.com, down at the bottom, you'll see the goal setting guide you can use to do this. But you will be doing this if you come to my bootcamp, just so you know. And it's something, honestly, you should do your goals two or three times a year. And ideally do them with a spouse, with your spouse or significant other. Do them with your teenage kids. Very powerful for kids as well. But anyway, I digress. So you take your number one goal, put it on another piece of paper. Take your top 3 1-year goals, put those on a separate sheet of paper. Leave room in between them. So you've got your 4 goals, your number one goal and your top 3 goals. I will tell you, at this point, you are ahead of 99.9% of the people on the planet that do a New Year's resolution that's forgotten by February, okay? And, you know, what's sad is people spend more time planning a freaking birthday party than they do designing their lives. This is designing your life, guys. This is why it's so important. Okay, so the last thing I need to, well, there's two things, actually. I need you to write down underneath each one of those goals why it's an absolute must to achieve it. Okay, you have to achieve it. There's no quarter here. You're going to make it. And you want to use emotionally charged words. Words are very powerful. Words like amazing, incredible, you know, beautiful, things like use, because words will move you. So you might say, so I can show my kids what incredible success looks like. So I can show my wife what it means to live a life of unbelievable abundance, you know, so, you know, we can have complete freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want, wherever we want, bring whoever we want, you know, whatever's going to juice you. That's what you need to write down. Okay. And take a few minutes with this. Think about it, because it's the why that's going to drive you. Okay. You need the goals, but it's really the why that's the driver. And then once you've got a positive reason why underneath each one of those goals, I need you to flip it. And I need you to put some pain in there if you don't achieve the goal and make it freaking hurt, okay? And I'll tell you why in a second. So you might say, so, you know, I don't feel like a failure. So I don't fail my kids. So I don't fail my husband or wife. You know, so I don't live a life of regret. Here's why. As human beings, we will do more to avoid pain than gain pleasure. And again, this is the freaking fuel to get your butt moving, okay? You know, again, so you grind for a few years like most people won't. You live the rest of your life like most people can't. So put some pain in there. And I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a great example of this. There was this nurse in Australia who took care of patients that were about to die. She was a hospice nurse. Her name was Bronnie Ware. And she asked him a question. And the question was, do you have any regrets? And she wrote a book about it. It's called The 5 Regrets of Dying. You know what the number one regret was? It was not living the life I could have lived, living someone else's life. It's
always not doing enough, isn't it? Right.
Yeah. And not doing what I know I could have done. Guys, I can't think of anything worse than that. So this prevents that from happening. All right. Once you're done with that, there's one more step. You need to both make declarations to people who will not pee on your parade. Sorry for the graphic description, but really, but you know, when you have a dream, it's a fragile thread. You have to protect it. It's easy to break that thread, but you want to make declarations to people who will hold you accountable, number one, and you need to go out and get pictures of your goals. I'll give you some examples of this. A great example is Jim Carrey, the actor, comedian. When he was flat broke, he wrote himself a check for $10 million. And he used to go by the Hollywood sign. He'd look at it, visualize cashing it, and that's how much money he made for Dumb and Dumber. I'll give you a more recent example. Demi Lovato, the singer, when she was an unknown, posted on social media, one day I'm going to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. One day. Go watch, not the Super Bowl, last one, the one before. See who sang the national anthem. I'll give you some examples from me. You know, when I was 18, I knew I had to have a four-door car because I was a real estate broker to show people houses, right? So I bought this Ford Granada, and this thing was a piece of crap. Okay, bench seat in the front, but I figured I had to have it. You know, the guy I worked for had two Corvettes, and I was dating his daughter, so he let me drive one. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I don't know if you've seen those brand new Corvettes. They look like freaking Lamborghinis, the new ones. But anyway, this is 40 years ago. So I got a picture of a Corvette out of a magazine. This is before the internet. A picture out of a magazine. I put that on the visor of my bone ugly Granada. Within a year or two, I had a beautiful Corvette. A couple more examples. Again, I'm not bragging. The stuff doesn't even interest me anymore. This is back when the TV show Magnum PI was out, and it's before you were born, Dave. But it was the actor's Tom Selleck. He's still around, but he was a detective in Hawaii, and he drove a Ferrari 308. It's first time I ever saw an exotic car. I'm like, holy crap, that's incredible. So I got a picture of that actual car out of a magazine. Put on the visor of my Corvette. Within a year or two, I had a Maserati, looked just like it, and kind of cool story. I just saw my car in Scarface. They only did like 117 of them. And could have been mine. But yeah, it's funny. I show it at my boot camp because I found the picture and I snapped it on my phone. But anyway, and last example, I'm the guy that always wanted a Lamborghini. Okay, I had pictures in my bedroom growing up. It was the Countach back then. And my son collected models of exotic cars. And I actually have the model. He had about 30 or 40 of them. I actually have them all here in a box for him in my attic, but I have a model of the exact same color and style Lamborghini that I ended up getting. In fact, I'll show you something. You put these on YouTube, these podcast interviews?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, let me show you something. This is my planner. On today. It's the 19th today. In the back of this thing, I've got pictures that have been in here for 20 years. Now, these first pictures are really important. My kids now are 30 and 26, but these are pictures of my kids when they were young. These are my gratitude pictures. Guys, everything you manifest in life comes through gratitude. And so I don't know, you call it prayer, you call it visualization, manifestation, whatever you want. But so these are my gratitude pictures, my kids when they were young. These pictures have been in here for 22 years, okay? This used to be called a day timer. Now it's a Franklin Covey planner, but luckily the holes lined up. So they're in plastic for those of you that are listening to this, and they're all beat up. But then I've got pictures of things that I wanted. That house on the beach looks just like this top picture before I ever built it. Had travertine floors, had 10-foot high glass butt together. It's insane how close this looked to what I had. Now, I lost that house and all the craziness back then, but now I live in a compound. I've got six buildings, big main house, two-bedroom guest house on the water. I've got a media building I turned into a video studio and, you know, a beautiful exercise facility. And what's crazy is you can see those walls and those bottom pictures, Dave. See those white walls?
Yep.
So behind me is my backyard. See the white wall? Is that freaking insane? It's the exact same wall. You know, and then I've got pictures of other things that I wanted at the stupid shit like watches. Now, actually, that still is a vice. I do love my watches. There's a Lamborghini before I ever got it, Rolls Royce, Bentley, all the stuff that I got because I had pictures. And again, this may not interest you. Replace it with what does interest you, okay? Because it freaking works. I'm just telling you. So it starts because what you need is you need to create what Napoleon Hill calls a burning desire, okay? You got to want it. And you got to want it bad because are you going to have setbacks? Yes. Are you going to have delays? Yes. Does it happen as fast as you like? No. And you've got to have that burning desire to push through fear, to push through maybe limiting beliefs. Maybe you've got one of those. I'll explain that in a second. To get uncomfortable, you know, the comfort zone's a warm place and not a damn thing grows there, right? So, you know, and limiting beliefs, you know, when I immigrated when I was six, I didn't speak English. And my mom threw me into school and I discovered what bullies were for the first time. So I got my butt kicked on a regular basis. I hadn't learned how to fight back yet. And then my mom thought it'd be a great idea. She's a Dutch woman, proud Dutch woman, to send me to school in wooden shoes and those leather shorts the Germans wear for Oktoberfest. And we actually
learned
found
a different lesson that day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I got another butt kicking. And then they'd chase me home and she'd chase them off with a fly swatter. So you can imagine what the next day was like. You know, and I created this belief that I wasn't good enough. I used to ask myself, how can I show them I'm good enough? And a lot of people have these. Maybe you're listening and you have it, a limiting belief like I'm not good enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm too young. I'm, you know, too old. I'm, you know, whatever. And guys, there's a reason that the acronym for belief systems is BS because 99.9% of them are. So if you have one of these, drag it out into the daylight. Whenever it pops up, look at it with your adult rational mind, recognize that it's BS, and it will start to diminish. I mean, I used to be afraid of raising my hand in class, afraid of getting embarrassed, humiliated, never raised my hand in a room when I first started going to boot camps and stuff. And now I speak in front of thousands of people a year. You know, I diminished that by recognizing that it was BS. And so if you have one of those, do the same thing. So listen, I can keep going. I mean, it starts with that burning desire. You got to have that. And then, frankly, you have to make a decision. Okay. And the Latin root for the word decision means to cut off. If you're going to attack the island, you're going to burn your ships because you're taking their ships home. That's a freaking decision. You're in, period. There's no waffling. There's no one toe in the water, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. It is freaking done. Okay. And when you do that, you've got complete commitment. And you're like a train on a track. You know, if you're just thinking about it, you're going to get derailed. But if you commit, it's done. And you'll have clarity, and you'll have 100% ownership and 100% responsibility.
And Ryan, I think with that commitment, and you mentioned it earlier, it's the partnerships, right? It's whoever your accountability partner is, whether it's your spouse or a friend or whoever. When you guys kind of decide together that these are your goals, I think that multiplies that effect too. You have the confidence to move forward because you talked it through with someone who's super close to you, who understands what you're trying to do. I think that's a huge part of this too.
And won't mitigate it or stop you because of their fears.
Influence you in a
good way. That's right. Yep. You know, when you decide what you want and you commit and you declare it, God or the universe or whatever you decide, you know, whatever you believe in will conspire to help you make it happen. You know, and you need positive expectation as well. You've got to, you know, because whatever you expect, you're going to get, both positive or negative, right? And so, you know, I use I am statements to help me stay grounded and motivated, because anything you put the words I am in front of is an identity statement. And there's no greater force in human psychology than the need to remain consistent with how we identify ourselves. So like right now on my wall, I have I am success. You know, I am the best in the world at what I do. You know, I'm a business genius. Now, these are not like ego statements. These are what I aspire to be, right? And you know, people will die over what they, you know, what their identity is. And so, you know, one of the things we do at my boot camps is an identity statement. In fact, let me mention that. If you guys are interested in learning this business, July 29th, 30th, and 31st in Denver, you can come for $197. If you go to that rodslinks.com, and you'll see the bootcamp link. But here's, if the price has gone up, because it's going to go up to 700, it's actually going, it may have gone up before this even airs. If it has, just DM me and I'll get you the 197 price. But I also have a couple of incredible bonuses. I give you my deal evaluator software and my document library, which is tens of thousands of dollars that I paid for that included. So you just use the word bonus when you check out. And you know, we do every aspect of this business. You've been there, from, you know, building a team to finding deals.
It's an exhausting weekend, to be honest.
Yes, but trust me, I face plant for a week after, because it's me for most of the 3 days. But, you know, we'll have three panels a day with, you know, $2 or $3 billion represented by the panelists. We go through evaluating deals, underwriting them, property management, financing your deals, syndicating them, joint venturing them, you name it, soup to nuts. And I'm going to tell you, you come to my boot camp and you don't freaking love it. I don't mean like it. You love it. Don't love it. After the 3 days, you let me know. I'll give you your money back. But, you know, the only complaint we ever get is the food sucked, or the room was too cold, or something like that. But it's never about the content. But anyway, yeah. So again, if you're listening in your car, if you text my name, Rod, to 72345, we'll send you the link. But just remember the code bonus, so you get those two bonuses when you check out. And again, the price has gone up. DM me on any social channel. I'm every one of them now. Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it. I'm on all of them.
Or hit me up too. I can help you out either way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, for sure. So do what you can to make it. If you're serious about this business, you'll be glad you came. Like I said, it should be 1,000 people. And this business is a team sport, as I'm sure you've heard Dave talk about. I mean, you know, this is not something you do on your own, like single family. Multifamily, you're going to do it with partners and a team. And so there'll be an incredible opportunity to meet a lot of those people there. So, you know, and then once you've made that decision, you got to take that first step. In our business, it's like the law of the first deal. It's the hardest. It's the scariest. It takes the longest. I hear it with my students all the time, my coaching students, you know, oh God, it's been 6 months. It's been 8 months. It's been a year. But then they get that first one. The next thing I know, they have four, you know, and it's like, what just happened? You know, so it's like, you know, you got to take that first step. And those of you that are analytical, you know who you are, you know, and you know you need to check off every single box before you take action. You're going to have to push past that because, you know, you can't see the entire road. And, you know, you can drive all the way across the United States at night, only seeing 50 feet in front of you. And you know you can make it. You may have obstacles, but you know other people have done it before. It's the same way with this business, guys. So, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King said, you take that first step in faith, the next step will be revealed. And Lao Tzu, thousands of years ago, said the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, but you got to take that first step. And don't have regret like Bronnie Ware talked about in her book. A couple more quick points. I don't know how we're doing on time, but a couple more things I'd love to mention.
Yeah, go ahead. I think we got, you know, a good another 5 or 10, and then I want to hit these cocky questions.
Okay,
you're gonna kill these ones, so I want to make sure you get your answers in.
Two quick things. One is focus. Your focus is critical. The most successful people on the planet have the ability to focus, okay? When you have incredible focus, that equals incredible success. And so I remember back in Denver, I had multiple businesses. You know, I built 27 businesses. When they fail, I don't call them failures. That was a $50 million seminar I described earlier. So, you know, I've had 27 businesses, several worth tens of millions of dollars. Most were spectacular flaming seminars, right? We fail our way to success. In fact, I got to meet the billionaire owner of Spanx, Sarah Blakely, you know, that women's undergarments holds everything together. She started with $5,000 and, you know, and I think she just sold it for several billion. Beautiful human being. But she told me that her dad, I met her at a mastermind, and she told me that her dad used to ask her and her brother once a week, what have you failed at this week? That's a great question to ask your kids, guys. I will tell you.
Getting used to failure is amazing.
Yeah. And we fail our way to success. That's just how it works. We're like, entrepreneurs are like sharks. We only die if we stop swimming. Okay. It's never a failure unless you give up. Okay. If you stop. Okay. If you get the lesson, you'll get the lesson, or you know, you got to get yourself back up. Those are the two things. And then it's just a seminar. And you listen, if you're not having seminars and setbacks, respectfully, you're not trying. Okay. So focus is critical. You know, I listen to a podcast by a guy named Tim Ferriss, and I get excited because my podcast is about to break 13 million downloads. I think he gets that a week. Okay.
He's nuts.
But what Tim does is he deconstructs the best and the best in every walk of life. You know, the best athletes. I've seen Michael Phelps and other athletes on there, actors from Arnold Schwarzenegger to Hugh Jackman to Jamie Foxx, Ed Norton to billionaires like Ray Dalio. And I started to hear a pattern in these conversations with these people when he deconstructs their success, and the bulk of them meditate. And I thought, what does meditation enhance? Focus, right? So that's one of the last two things. Playing to your strengths is also critical. Make sure you play to your strengths. Don't try to build your weakness. And then lastly, be careful who you hang out with. Who you hang out with is who you become. You are the sum total of the people you hang out with. I know you've heard it before. And so it's critical that you're around people that will support you and validate you, which is why if you can come to my bootcamp, there'll be 1,000 people that want more out of life. That's a great peer group
right
there.
All on the same path right there.
All on the same. That's right. And that's why the Warrior Program, you know, that my coaching program is so successful, because, you know, I think they're in this. My students now own 60 to 70,000 doors that we know of every day. There's more people closing on deals, and most of it's done between warriors. So again, if you're not coming to my bootcamp, get around people that are doing this, that aren't going to be afraid of your dreams, that aren't going to be afraid of losing you or, you know, be jealous of you or afraid, like they're going to feel less than if you succeed. And sometimes it's family. And I'll tell you, love your family, but proactively choose your peers. So anyway, I'll leave it at that. I could keep going, but we'll leave it at that so you could ask your remaining questions, brother.
Yeah, it's, man, there's just so much to unpack here today. We could probably, like you're saying, do another 45. But yeah, I want to hit these 5 key questions. I know you're gonna knock these out of the park. So first one, Rod, if you could only pick one trait that explains your success, what is that trait and why?
My ability to communicate. And that came from my love of reading. You know, I didn't go to college. I barely graduated high school, but I'm a voracious reader. If you saw my library, I've got thousands of books, and that reading helped me have a great vocabulary and a great ability to articulate what I'm thinking and feeling. And so I would say that's probably the biggest one. Yeah.
And then what is the most uncharacteristic thing you have done in your business, and why did you do it?
Well, when I first started my podcast, I started taking free phone calls from my listeners. I didn't have anything to sell or anything like that. I did hundreds of them. Okay. And you can see you know, there's some of the hundreds of thank you cards I've gotten
over
the last few years. The whole wall behind me is covered with them. You can't see them. But I would do these calls and I just say, listen, let me help you with anything you're working on. And let me see if I can give you some insight. And I did hundreds of them. And I know that's what springboarded my podcast to be such a success. You know, I will tell you, the most successful people on the planet add the most value. And I continually focus on adding the most value. I've written a dozen books that I give away for free. In fact, if you go to Rod's links, there's several free books there, including my number one bestseller. You pay the shipping if you want the hard copy, but there's numerous books there for free and free resources. You go to, you know, you go to my website, which is also on rodslinks.com. You'll see my website, tons of free stuff there, videos and articles and things like that. And I forgot what the question was, but
no, you were just mentioning the giving. It truly is a boomerang. You know, it finds a way to come back to you in some
form
or
fashion. What you give, you get back a thousandfold.
Yeah, you got to go into it not expecting anything in return. You'll probably get more than you ever thought you would, anyways. So,
yeah.
The next one here. Can you name a time where you felt like you weren't going to end up successful? And I'm sure there's several.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. When
can you name a time you felt you weren't going to end up successful, and how did you overcome that fear?
Well, I pretty much answered that one because, you know, I thought I was set for life when I lost $50 million. I mean, it was rough. You know, what really sucks about it is had I not been so heavily impacted by it, I could have capitalized on it. And there's a recession coming, guys. It's coming. I'm getting excited now. I did a Facebook Live on it last night. There is incredible opportunity coming. Okay. It's not going to be like 2008 and 2009. Let's pray to God. I don't think it will be because, you know, the basic underlying foundational things
play,
are there.
Probably.
There's a huge demand still. There's for housing and a lot of people are well employed right now and so on and so forth. But we are heading into a recession. They have to slow things down. The Fed's talking about 5 more interest rate increases. So, there's huge opportunity coming. And, you know, of course, you know, back then I didn't capitalize on it, or I literally probably could have been a billionaire by now, not exaggerating. I'm excited. I'm in a lot of cash and I have access to a lot of cash. And that's what's important right now because cash is king when stuff like that happens. So, anyway,
equally as important to be ready and kind of read the market, right?
And know the business. Now's the best time. If you've been on the fence sidelines thinking about this, freaking stop thinking. Come meet me in Denver and learn this so you can capitalize on it. Because if you're in the thick of it, it's going to be too late. Okay. So, you know, and it has probably already started, but, you know, it's going to take a while for it to really be impactful and there to be incredible opportunity. So there's no time like right now. So
could not agree more. And then this one you kind of answered with the podcast. Maybe you have another example, but can you name a time where something in your business went perfectly right? And what did you do to make that a reality?
Perfectly right.
Perfectly right.
You know, I will tell you that anytime you focus on other people, anytime you focus on adding value, it always goes right. If you're depressed, you're looking in the mirror. If you want to not be depressed, focus outwardly. You know, whatever you want, you give. You want love, you give love. You want happiness, you give happiness. You want money, you give money and time and value, and you will have money. So it's all about giving, honestly. And so I don't know if I answered your question, but whenever I do that, it works out right. You know, let me give you an example, okay? When I was, I had an epiphany. I built that house on the beach. It took me 20 years to achieve it, okay? 3 months after I moved in, so 20 years, 3 months, 3 months after I moved in, I'm floating up at the pool at night. I'm looking up at this thing and, you know, it's magnificent. Just to describe the house, a giant waterfall from the second floor balcony into the pool. You had to walk through the waterfall to get to the pool. Pool was in magazines. You know, I had tens of thousands of dollars worth of trees that were bent, that bent out over the pool. You know, giant spiral staircase up through the middle of the house. On the second floor, there was an aquarium that wrapped around the staircase. It cost me almost $200,000. So this gives you an idea of the house. 3 months after I moved in, I'm looking up at this thing, this testament to my ego, which is really what it was to prove to the world I was good enough. And I got depressed. And I don't mean just a little depressed. I mean, I was freaking bummed. And I'm like, what the hell? I've got this incredible house. I got my beautiful family inside. I've got the Maserati, the two Mercedes, the boats, the jet skis, all the stuff. And I was depressed. And when I look back on it, there were several things happening here. The number one is it's never about the goals. So remember this, guys, you need the goals. Happiest days of a boat owner's life, though, are the day they buy the boat and the day they sell the boat. You know, you need them to juice you, but it's never about the goals. Happiness comes from progress and growth. And I didn't know what I was going to do next. You know, like the good book says, without a vision, the people perish. I didn't have a vision for the future. So I didn't know. So that was a big piece, too. But the big one was I was totally focused on myself. And so that's the year I met Tony Robbins, because I bought a bunch of books to get myself back. And one of them was his. And I went to see him live and I saw that he fed families for the holidays. And I'm like, what a concept, you know, do something for someone else. I'm embarrassed to say I had to be, you know, 40 to get that memo. But I went back and I called my brother and I said, let's feed 5 families. I was going to Denver to see him and it was for Thanksgiving. And so he went to his church and found 5 families who really needed help. And the third one changed my life, Dave. You know, I get up to this house and this woman had 5 kids. And we bought toys for the kids and a frozen turkey and big cardboard boxes full of food. And she came out, she saw all this stuff and she started crying. And her kids came out and 2 of the older ones started crying. And I started crying. And I was hooked. And I'm blessed to say in the last 22 years now, we have fed somewhere between 110,000 and 120,000 kids. We've done tens of thousands of backpacks filled with school supplies to local kids that don't have the basic supplies for school. In fact, we're doing another one here coming up real soon in August. We've done tens of thousands of teddy bears filled with, you know, officers to put in their cars and their trunks so that if they encounter a child that's police officers, that is, they encounter a child that's been traumatized, they can comfort that child. And here's why, again, not bragging. Here's why this is important if you're listening. You know, you might have blood dripping from your teeth. You want this success so bad. But I'm going to tell you. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. We're all there. We've all been there. But I'm going to tell you that. There's a difference between success and fulfillment. So, Tony Robbins calls it the science of achievement versus the art of fulfillment. Achievement is a science. Okay. There's a blueprint and a map. You want multifamily? Come see me. I'll give you the blueprint. You know, Dave's gotten it from me. I mean, you know, this is why my students are such a huge success, but fulfillment is an art. Okay. And so, you know, if you want to be fulfilled, you got to find something that juices you and give back right now. Again, we've been taught to it that we have to achieve to be happy. If you give back, you're happily achieving. And I had to be 42 to get this memo. And so I don't want that for you. And if you give back, like we just talked about, it comes back 1,000-fold. You get the success faster. Now you don't do it for that reason. So find something that juices you. For me, it's children. Maybe it's the elderly. Maybe it's the environment. Maybe it's animals, whatever it is. And give back right now because you'll be happily achieving. You're going to get success faster.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the whole highlight of the show, right? It's finding the purpose behind what you're doing, behind the mechanics. What is the reason why you do what you do every day? It's going to get you up in the morning. It's going to have you succeed faster, like you mentioned. So, yeah. Man, that's just incredible. Last one here, Rob, before we jump off. What have you been focusing on lately to improve yourself or your business?
What have I been focusing on? Well, really my health, honestly, because you know, you can't do anything without health and energy. And full disclosure, I've slipped a little bit. I mean, I look good for 62, but I'm you know, my wife is considerably younger, supermodel beautiful, and I've slipped a little bit. And so I need to step up my game. So I'm actually juicing right now. This is my juice right here. Cleansing, been exercising twice a day. And that's been the focus, because, you know, the mechanical information is easy. It's just my energy is pivotal, you know, because my energy affects my attitude. My attitude affects my entire team in both of my businesses, you know, my acquisition side of my business and my thought leadership side. So, you know, that's the best answer today.
Yeah. And your body's on loan, right? You only get one. So you might as well keep it in the best shape you can. So
that's it.
Rod, really appreciate it. Just a wealth of information, a wealth of just positivity and influence. And I think everybody needs to hear this stuff as much as they can, to be honest. You know, you should be trying to get a dose of this in some form or fashion daily. Couldn't appreciate it anymore. You mentioned the links, but feel free to drop them one more time.
Yeah. Let me just say this. If you don't listen to my podcast, I'd encourage you to, even if you don't want to listen to the real estate part of it. I do these clips every week called Own Your Power. They're motivational. There's hundreds of them there. I'm really proud of them. There's music. I will juice you if you give me 5 minutes a week. Okay. So my podcast called Lifetime Cash Flow. Actually, if you go to Rod's links, it's in there as well, as is my website, as is the bootcamp site. You know, and remember the code bonus. And if the price is up, which it probably will be, I'll get you the $197 price if you just ping me and with the bonuses on social. Just DM me. Please check out my podcast. I'm real proud of it. And if you can make it to Denver, for God's sakes, just do. Now is the best time. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, Rod. Appreciate it. Thank you for listening to the show. I don't take your time and attention for granted and appreciate that you would spend it with me. If you enjoyed this show or any of my previous shows, it would be a huge help if you would rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcasting service, or even just share the episode with a friend. And if you'd like help from me or would like to talk about real estate investing further, feel free to visit the show notes for more information, or you can visit davidtravis.com.